I like the thought of one day this being over and we're going to be with the Lord. How about you? I look forward to the day. However, God has a lot for us in the meantime. So sometimes we get so focused on one day that we forget that he's here today and he's working in our lives today and has lots of things to teach us now in the here and now. So we praise the Lord that he is here with us and he'll be with us forever. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That way will we have changes in weather like we've had in heaven like this? I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. When I get there, I'll let you know. How's that? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we get into the word. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you are, all that you do, the promises that you give us, the things we have to look forward to when we reach heaven. But also thank you that you're here now, that you want to teach us, you want to love us, you want us to feel your presence now and live in your presence now and live in your love now, not just when we get to heaven, but right now. Thank you for being here. Father, just reveal yourself to us. Help us to open up our hearts and our minds to your spirit this morning and hear the message you have to speak to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I mentioned this a few weeks back, and most of you have already heard of it before. The Osbury Revival up at the Osbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. I looked up some statistics about the revival. It lasted for about 2 weeks. They shut down classes for 2 full weeks. And so they estimate between 50 and 70,000 students and other folks from around the U.S. came to the campus during those 2 weeks. And that there was more than 144 hours of preaching, praying, and singing there on the campus. And it's an amazing thing. And a few weeks ago, I watched a video of the worship service, the chapel service, that kicked things off. And I mentioned some of this before. I listened to it. The speaker was nothing spectacular. He wasn't particularly captivating. He said nothing new. He talked about God's love. He talked about God's grace, God's mercy. Those are truths we talk about every week, that we read about in our devotionals, or that we sing here about here at the church, or as we sing along with the radio for favorite worship songs. But as he was speaking to those and encouraging them, he said this. He said he encouraged them to accept the love of God. Now, once again, that's nothing we haven't heard before. In fact, I've used those words trying to encourage people to embrace Jesus. However, this time when I heard those words, God spoke to me and he asked me this. He said, what would it be like if people in the churches, if Christians, if your church accepted my love, if they truly let me love them? He said, what would happen if you really let me love you? How would that change you? How would that change them, meaning the church, meaning you? Now, when we talk about accepting Jesus' love, you know what we generally equate that with? Salvation, right? That's what we think about. For that's the terminology we use when we talk about coming to be a follower of the Lord. Therefore, I imagine most of you, if not all of you, said, when I asked that question, thought, well, I'm good. I'm already saved. I've already accepted his love. I'm good. I'm his follower. And that's good. I'm glad. But this morning, I want to talk about that phrase in a little bit different light. I want to use it a little differently. The question that God wants us to contemplate this morning is not, are you saved? Yes, God wants you to come to know him. He wants you to be saved. He didn't want you to perish. He wants you to be forgiven, have a home in heaven, and escape, you know, hell. But the question that he's putting to us when he says, will you let me love you, is not because he wants us to accept his salvation. It's not about eternal destiny. The question is, are you accepting it? Are you receiving my love? Another way of putting that would be, are you living with the assurance that Jesus loves you, and are you experiencing his love? Are you experiencing my love? So when God put that question to me, He wasn't saying, he was saying this. He was saying, I don't want you to experience my love here. I want you to experience my love here. I don't want you to just know about my love here, but I want you to feel it here. I want you to live in my love, rest in my love, and enjoy my love. But for you to do that, you've got to let me love you. You've got to accept the love that I offer. You've got to take hold of it. You've got to let it fill your heart and your mind. So today, as you can see, we're going to be talking about letting Jesus love you. We're going to be in Zephaniah 3:17. I am going to put it on the screen. Zephaniah is one of those books that we don't talk about a lot. But in Zephaniah, Israel had walked away from the Lord. But he says, you'll be back, and here is how I feel about you. Here's what I will do for you. So when Jesus asks, will you let me love you? Here's what he's asking. Let's read Zephaniah 3:17 together. I'll read it. You follow along. How's that? You know, you could take the Bible and say, okay, let's read it all out loud together. But if we did that now, we'd have five different versions of what this sounds like. I mean, King James Version says it one way, the New Living says it one way, the NIV says it one way. That's what this is, the New International Version. The New English Version has a little bit different twist on it. But so that's the reason we can't read it all together unless we read it off the screen. But we're going to just read it. He says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He'll quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. The New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song. And then the New English Version says, the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a warrior who can deliver. He takes great delight in you. He renews you by his love. He shouts for joy over you. So when we think about letting Jesus love us, what he's saying is, are you letting me do this for you? Are you letting me do this for you? Do you let me love you in this way? Do you accept it when I delight in you? And I rejoice over you when I tell you how much I love you. Do you drink it in? Do you drink the joy in that spills out of my heart when I tell you that you are special? Do you sit with me and allow me to sing a song that tells you of the great love I have for you? Do you bask in and rest in my embrace, allowing my arms to wrap around you like a loving parent wraps up a child in their arms and gives them a warm embrace? Do you do these things? Do you let my love wrap around you like a soft, warm blanket? When I call your name for no reason than just wanting to spend time with you and simply hang out with you, do you sit with me and enjoy my company? And do you smile as I whisper in your ear, well done, I'm proud of you? Since the day Jesus asked me the question, what would it be like if you let me love you? I've been trying to accept that love, trying to receive that love and let him love me. And I'll tell you, it hasn't been easy to let him love me. I'm trying, but I'm not always good at it. You see, Jesus loves me, and he wants to let him Does that make sense? I hope so, because I don't know how else to say that. But that's what he wants. He wants me to let him love me. And he doesn't want to just give me a small taste of his love. 1 John 3:1 says he lavishes his love on us. What great love he has lavished on us. And I don't just want it. I long for it. I long for Jesus to love me. I long to experience it and feel it and enjoy his love. Not when I'm doing things, but if I'm driving down the road, I want to feel his love. I'm sitting at home or lying in bed or I'm getting ready in the morning, if I'm eating a meal, spending time with Alicia and the kids, whether I'm sitting out on the patio on a cool, crisp morning or in an evening drinking a cup of hot chocolate. I don't get to do that very often, but that is a nice thing to do. Wrapped up in a nice warm blanket, I want to feel God's love there. I want to listen as He burst out in spontaneous song that tells us that my God loves me. I long for these things. I long to experience these things. Now I know, guys, when we look at this scripture and we say He rejoices over us with singing, that doesn't get our blood pumping. How many of you guys really like the idea of a love song being sung to you? You know, that's really not what really gets us going. Now, I've shared this many different times. I may have even shared it here, but how many of you know the story of Rudy? You know, the young man who wanted to play football for Notre Dame, and he wanted to play so bad he finally got on the practice squad, but he never made it to play on the team. And his last game of his senior year, all the team members came and said, "Coach, we want Rudy to play. Let him suit out. Let him take my spot." Well, Rudy ended up on the sidelines, ready to play. Never got put in the game till the last play. And I think it was a kickoff. I'm not even sure now. But anyway, the last play. And so he got to play. And I don't know whether this took place in real life or whether it just took place in the movie. But in the movie, somebody starts saying, "Rudy, Rudy." And then the whole stadium just erupts, calling out his name. And what does Rudy do? I mean, he's like just drinking it in. And they're not shouting for him because of what he did, because he didn't do anything, but for who he was. And guys, that's what God does for us. He shouts our name with joy. He rejoices and delights, and He loves us, and He calls out our name because He loves us and He's proud of us. And we long for that. I long for that. And Jesus wants us to experience that. He will come to me. He will delight in me. He will sing over me. He will rejoice over me. He will show me His love and show me the special place I have in His heart. And He will shout my name. And He'll do the same thing for you. The very same thing for you. When He says He will take great delight and He will love you, and He will sing with joy over you. This idea is not, this is something He will do one day. Someday out there, sometime, maybe when you get it together, maybe when all the stars align, when everything is in order, you got all your ducks in a row and they're staying there, then, oh, good job, that was wonderful, that was terrific. That is not what this means. What it means is that today, this very moment, this is what is taking place in God's heart because of you. Not because of the person beside you. Not because of the person you see anywhere around, but because of you. This is what God is doing. God is delighting. He is joy. He is singing. And it's all because of you, and it is for you. Now do you see why I have difficulty with this? We all do. We all have a hard time believing that and taking hold of that. See, when you cross His mind, guess what God does? He smiles. When He thinks of you, He laughs with delight. How many of you, when you think of your kids or grandkids, smile or laugh with delight? Just because they are. And that's what God does for you and over you. The love of God never stops. It's not something that comes and goes. It never stops. He loves you continually, always, day in and day out. His joy and His delight in you never stops. He doesn't always delight in what I do. He doesn't always like it. He deals with me in those things, but He deals with me in love. But here's a truth you can take to the bank. Jesus will always delight in you. Let me say that again. Jesus will always delight in you. Oh, how we so need to understand. To understand that we're intended to enjoy being loved by the Lord. We're to enjoy letting Him love us. Just like Rudy standing there going, yes, he just received it. That's what we need to do. See, Jesus wants us to experience His love, to live in light of His delight in us. So if Jesus loves us, and we long for Jesus to love us, and if we want to live every day with the knowledge that we are special to Him, if we want to experience that love, why don't we? That's the question. If we want to experience Jesus' love, why don't we? Because here's what we do. We keep Him at arm's length. We keep Him at arm's length. We believe like the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Now, prodigal son went to his dad and said, I want my inheritance. He went and just blew it. Whatever he wanted to do, he used it for. And then when he came back, what did he say to his dad? I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy. And was he worthy? No. No, he wasn't. But even so, what did the father do? He ran to him. He met him. He threw his arms around him. He kissed him. The father was showing him the Son, His love. Just as Jesus shows us His love for us. At first, the Son did not accept it. Because the Father came, threw His arms around and kissed Him. Then the Son said, I'm not worthy of that. And tried to push His dad away. We know how He feels. We mess up, we sin, we rebel against the Lord, we break His heart. And because of those things, we think we don't deserve love. And because we don't think we deserve the love of Jesus, we push Him and His love away. And we don't deserve it. That's what makes His love so great. Even though we screw up, even though we mess up, He still loves us. He still delights in us. The joy of you. Think about this statement. The joy of you still fills His heart. The joy of you. See, Jesus' love does not depend on your behavior. Does not depend on your behavior, but His heart. He loves you, and He's going to try to show you just how much. But He can only do that if we let Him. If we will receive it and not keep Him at arm's length. We'll experience it if we open up our heart. That's what the prodigal son did. First, he's like, no, I don't deserve it, Dad. No, I'm not going to take this. But he relented. The Father's love overwhelmed him. And he didn't let his past keep him from experiencing God's love. And you cannot allow your heartache and your pain and your pride, any sin, to be an excuse not to let Jesus love you. He loves you even though you got baggage. We all have baggage. Baggage we drag around with us all the time. Those old tapes in our head that just keep... I say old tapes. I don't even know if my kids even know what a tape is. But you know exactly what... Those old CDs, I guess. Or the thumb drive or whatever. Download. Whatever you want to call it for nowadays. But those old tapes just going around our head. All that. We need to let Jesus just take that baggage, set it aside, so that we can experience His love as He wants us to experience it. take joy in it and have peace in it? Do you want to for Him to love you and to draw you into His arms? Do you long to feel His embrace and hear His voice telling you every day how special and how loved you are? I do. I need that. I need that. And I know this is what Jesus wants for you and for me to experience. So here's the question. Are we letting Jesus love us? Are we receiving that love? Not do we hear Him and dismiss it, but do we take it to heart? Do we let it take root? Do we enjoy it? When was the last time you let God love you? That was a hard question for me to answer. I imagine it may be hard for you too. But when was the last time you just let God love you? When was the last time when you heard God say, I love you, you simply smiled and accepted that love? When was the last time you sat back and just let His love wash over you and hold you and let His arms just envelop you? When was the last time you listened as He encouraged you and told you how proud He was of you and talked about you, how special you are to Him? And when I'm talking about taking in God's love, I'm talking about receiving it without trying to deflect it, without trying to play it down, but taking it in and enjoying it as it was meant to be enjoyed. How many of you have difficulty accepting a compliment or even a thank you? What do we do? And we start trying to downplay it. We don't know what to do when somebody gives us a compliment. We don't know how to act. You know, that's one thing as you go on in life. Somebody told me one time, when somebody pays you a compliment, just say thank you, enjoy it, and move on. That's the best advice I ever got from anybody. But we have trouble accepting the fact that somebody could delight in us. We have trouble, even with the Lord, taking that compliment. We're uncomfortable with it. But He says, don't be uncomfortable. He says, take the compliment. Take the pat on the back. Take the overture of love. They're meant to be enjoyed. They're not meant to make you uncomfortable. They're meant for you to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with liking to hear from me how many ways you bring a smile to my face. There's nothing wrong with you enjoying hearing how many ways you bring a smile to my face. Have you ever thought about the fact that you bring a smile to God's face? Smile to Him. You bring joy to His heart. We just need to drink it in. We need to take it to heart. He says, I want you to experience my love to the fullest. I want you to experience it. I want you to know it here. I don't want you to know it here. I want you to know it here. And there's a big difference. So this morning, God is inviting us to accept His love, to let it into our hearts. He wants you to let Him love you, to walk in His love and to enjoy His love. He enjoys you. Pat, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and make your way there. I don't need you to play just yet, but that way we're ready. We sing a lot of songs about the love of God. We sang several of them this morning. Some of them are sang about God as a testimony to his great love for us. Others are sung to God, letting us know the love we have for him. And one of those songs that we sing about his love to him is I Love You, Lord. Do you know the song? I Love You, Lord. Well, I'm going to have Mark go ahead and put the lyrics up on the screen. Pat's going to play through it one time. Can you just sing in your own heart and mind? I'm not going to lead you in singing, so just calm down. Y'all are good. So just sing this in your own heart and mind as she plays. Go ahead, Pat. Okay, we sing that to the Lord. We tell him how much we love him, but have you ever thought that God sings songs like that to you? That's what Zephaniah says, right? He says he will rejoice over you with singing. Others say with shouts of joy. He sings over you. He sings to you. Can you imagine what that would sound like? Someone took this tune and put new words to it. Words that were like God is singing to you. So, Mark, go ahead and put that other screen up. Now, I'm going to ask Pat to play through I Love You, Lord one more time with that tune. And I just want you to look at these words as though the Lord is singing them over you. Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. Will you accept that love? Will you receive it? Will you let him love you? Will you open up your heart and enjoy the Lord's delight, his joy, as he thinks of you and spends time with you? Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will chant your name. Will you let him do that? Will you receive that from him and enjoy him? Let's close our eyes. Just stay where you just close our eyes and just be for a few moments. Jesus, the one who loves you, is here. I want you to listen for his voice. Can you hear him? Can you hear him saying, I love you? Can you hear him saying, I'm proud of you? Not because of what you've done or not done. Not because of what you're doing or not doing, but because you are you. You are special. You're one of a kind. You are such a joy to me. Do you hear him say, I enjoy your company so much. And you're loved in ways you can't imagine. Do you hear him? Let the love move from your head. Feel his love. Just let his love wash over you. let it fill your heart and mind. Go ahead and let that smile break out on your face. It's okay. It's okay to smile and to enjoy His love. You want to lift a hand, just reach out to Him. Just reach out to Him. Your heart to Him. Just ask Him, Lord, show me your love. Let me experience your love, not in my mind, but in my heart. Lord, take away my baggage, any obstacle that will keep me from letting your love in. Lord, I know you bring great joy to me. Now let me see the joy I bring to you. Don't let me shy away from it. Don't let me push you and your love away. But enable me to fully embrace it and to sense the delight that you take in me. Just receive God's love. Bask in that love. Enjoy His love. Rest in it. Let the Lord love you. Just let go of all the baggage, all the excuses. Our voices and our hearts to you. And we rejoice in you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to teach me what it means for you to love me. I'm still figuring this out. I'm still learning what that means. But more and more, few weeks, I'm resting more and more in that love. I'm beginning to enjoy more and more the delight that you have in me. And Father, honestly, I don't understand it, because I know me and I know my heart and I know who I am. And Father, the way you delight in me, it's a mystery. But in spite of all my flaws, in spite of all the times I fall down, all the times you have to pick me up and set me back on the right path, you never stop loving me and taking joy in me. And Father, that is hard for my mind to wrap around. But teach me to live in that. To enjoy that love. And Lord, I know that if we can live in that love, if we can let you love us, we will never, ever be the same. It'll change us completely. Because love changes things. You change things. Because you are love. Perfect, wonderful, gracious, exciting love. Thank you for loving me the way you do. Help me receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, during our ministry time, we said this was about us as believers accepting God's love, but